as good as it should be. Okay, devotees. Shri Radhastami Mahotsava Ki Jai. Srimati Radharani Ki Jai. We will read from Chaitanya Charitamrita, chapter 4, the internal reasons for the appearance of Lord Chaitanya. But of course, what we're doing is we're going to focus on the glories of Srimati Radharani. And actually, this is in our literatures generally, this is the best place to find information about the glories of Srimati Radharani. So we will read a few verses. Oh, actually, we're going to read a whole lot of verses. And we'll say some words, but perhaps more than anything, we'll read some verses. Let's just see, what's the first verse that we're going to read? I mean, I've got the verse, but I haven't got the number. All right. So we're going to start by reading Adi Leela chapter 4, the confidential reasons for the appearance of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And we will begin by reading verse 59, and we will just read various verses. That's what we'll do. We won't give you the verse number all the time, but we will read the verse. Jai Jai Sri Chaitanya Jai Nityananda. Jai Advaita Chandra Jai Gaura Bhakta Vrinda. Jai Jai Sri Chaitanya Jai Nityananda. Jai Advaita Chandra Jai Gaura Bhakta Vrinda. Jai Jai Sri Chaitanya Jai Nityananda. Jai Advaita Chandra Jai Gaura Bhakta Vrinda. Yes. So we'll read to start off with Adi Leela chapter 4, verse 59. And then we'll read various other verses. Right, here we go. Radhika Hayena Krishna, Pranaya Vikara, Swarupa Shakti Hladini Nama Yanhara. Srimati Radhika is the transformation of Krishna's love. She is his internal energy called Hladini. And then another verse, I haven't got the number, but it's from the same chapter. It's a really nice verse. Govinda Nandini Radha. Govinda Mohini. Govinda Sarvasva Sarva Kanta Shiromani. Radha is the one who gives pleasure to Govinda. And she is also the enchantress of Govinda. She is the be-all and end-all of Govinda. and the crest jewel of all his consorts. We could just make a little point here at this stage about this verse, is that, you know, as we've noted in the Bhagavad Gita seminar we're doing, that the Lord is addressed, and Arjuna for that matter, but particularly the Lord is addressed by different names, which have different meanings, which are relevant in the particular contexts that they're used. So therefore, when Lord Krishna is sort of, what would you say, really waking Arjuna up, activating Arjuna, getting him into action, then the word, the name Rishikesh is used, master of the senses. Get those senses in action. he was called Janardan. He was called Madhusudan, means the killer of the Madhu demon, when he's being referred to in terms of the need to get into the battle and kill the enemy. So similarly here, in this verse, Lord Krishna is addressed three times as Govinda. Govinda, of course, means that person who gives pleasure to the senses. Rishikesh means the master of the senses. Govinda means one who gives pleasure to the senses. He gives pleasure to the senses of all living entities. What to speak of all human beings? What to speak of all devotees? But whatever pleasure anyone is getting from through their senses is coming from Krishna. He's in charge of it. He's managing it all. But here, now, Radharani is giving pleasure to Krishna. He's giving pleasure to everyone else, but he is getting pleasure from Radharani. You see, this is an interesting point. It's not just they decided, well, let's just use the term Govinda here. Why not? For a change, or something of that sort. It's not like that at all. It's very strategic. Radha is the one who gives pleasure to Govinda. And she is also the enchantress of Govinda. She is the be-all and end-all of Govinda and the crest jewel of all his associates. Yeah. So it's very beautiful that he's giving pleasure to everyone, but he's getting pleasure from Radharani. So what is the position of Radharani? She is just a most, most extraordinary and remarkable personality. Most extraordinary and most remarkable. So let's read some more verses from the same chapter. That Hladini energy gives Krishna pleasure and nourishes his devotees. The essence of the Hladini potency is love of God. The essence of love of God is emotion, bhava, and the ultimate development of emotion is Mahabhava. Yes. Sri Radha Thakurani is the embodiment of Mahabhava. She is the repository of all good qualities and the crest jewel among all the lovely associates of Lord Krishna. The beloved consorts of Lord Krishna are of three kinds: the goddesses of fortune, the queens in Dwarka, and the milkmaids of Vraja, who are the foremost of all. These consorts all proceed from Radhika. They all come from Srimati Radharani. In other words, generally speaking, they're all different forms of Srimati Radharani. Different forms with different features in the physical sense and different types of mentality, character, different types of emotions and feelings. They're all coming from Radharani. She possesses all of them. But in amongst these many, there's so many of them. There's vast numbers we're talking about who have all proceeded from Radhika. So they are little manifestations of the character, the personality, the appearance, the emotions, the moods of Srimati Radharani in different ways. Just as the fountainhead, Lord Krishna, is the cause of all incarnations, so Sri Radha is the cause of all these consorts. So when we talk, in other words, when we talk about Sita Ram, Lakshmi Narayan, and Rama Mahavishnu, and, well, so many, we're talking about persons who have expanded from Radha and Krishna. The goddesses of fortune are partial manifestations of Srimati Radhika, and the queens are reflections of her image. Yes, very amazing, actually. Very amazing. And so, let me read another verse. It's just right here. This is a real classic verse in terms of definition of who is, what is Srimati Radharani. It's the same chapter 4 of Adi Leela, Chaitanya Charitamrita, but now this is verse 83. Devi Krishna Mayi Prokta Radhika Paradevata Sarva Lakshmi Mayi Sarva Kanti Sammohini Para. The transcendental goddess Srimati Radharani is the direct counterpart of Lord Sri Krishna. She is the central figure for all the goddesses of fortune. She possesses all the attractiveness to attract the all-attractive personality of Godhead. She is the primeval internal potency of the Lord. So let's just say a few words about this. Who is, what is Radharani? And then we'll go on to a few other things. Nama Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prestaya Bhutale Srimati Bhakti Vedanta Swaminiti Namine Namaste Saraswati Deve Gauravani Pracharane Niravishesha Shunyavadi Pastyachadesh Tarne Sri Krishna Chaitanya Pramanicha Ananda Sri Advaita Gadadha Shivasri Gaura Bhaktavrinda. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hari Rama, Hari Rama, Rama Rama, Hari Hari. Vanchakalpatrubhyascha kripa sindubhya evacha. Paditanam pavanebhyo vaishnavebhyo namo namaha. Hare Krishna. Okay, so who is Radharani? Well, first thing to understand is, she is part of Krishna. In a different way to how we are parts of Krishna. She is a part of Krishna's person, himself, who he is. She is, as we've read here, the primeval, internal potency, the Haladini Shakti, the pleasure-giving potency of Krishna, of Krishna. Just like Krishna has his hands and legs and so on, and he has his mind, his consciousness, these are all parts of his being. So he has his energy, his potency for experiencing pleasure. We also have, in a certain sense, we also have some type of pleasure potency. In different situations in our lives, we get pleasure, we feel pleasure. So that's a manifestation of our capacity built into us to feel pleasure. So Lord Krishna, well, how is it that we have a pleasure potency? It's because Lord Krishna, who is our source, he has a pleasure potency. We just have a little one. He has a very big one, unlimited. And that pleasure potency, in order to increase the Lord's experience of it, that pleasure potency manifests external to himself as Srimati Radharani. But it's just like, you could say, it's just like we have our hands, each one of us, we have our hands. So here's my one hand, my right hand. If I was to separate, in order to help me do things, if I was somehow to separate this hand from the rest of the body, and it would go running off, and it would do things that I want it to do, which is obviously not going to be the case in this case, but if it were, that, you know, there's something over there on that hill over there I want to get. My hand, I could stay here. My hand could run off and get it. And in this way, it would be very nice. Which, you know, is not going to happen. But anyway, in the case of Lord Krishna with Srimati Radharani, this is what has happened. Part of himself has manifested external to himself in order to give him more pleasure. And that part of himself, Srimati Radharani, his pleasure potency, is a conscious person who now can think, all right, how will we give Krishna pleasure? Should I do this? Should I do that? And she's got so many expansions we read. And they're also persons, and they're also thinking like that. How will we give Krishna pleasure in different ways? But actually they're parts of Radharani, who is part of Krishna. This is very transcendental, isn't it? This is very amazing. This is very amazing. So, yes, she is part of Krishna's being. She is part of who is Krishna, what is Krishna, as the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Yeah. But she's now manifest, at least, as a separate person, who also manifests as many other separate persons. And the whole reason behind all of it and how it all works, and the only way it works, is to give Krishna pleasure and to increase Krishna's pleasure and increase it further and further unlimitedly. So this is very amazing. So that internal potency of Krishna, spiritual potency, Parashakti, it's referred to here as Parashakti. That's his internal potency. It consists, we read, of Satchitananda, eternity, knowledge and bliss, are the states, a state of eternity, a state of knowledge or being conscious, a state of bliss. But the actual energies themselves, which produce those states, are the Sandini potency of eternity, of existence, the Samvit potency of consciousness, and the Hladni potency of bliss. And because the main thing is the bliss, therefore, the existence, eternity potency and knowledge potency, they're simply there to facilitate Krishna's bliss. That's all. They're simply there for that. They're not really there for other different potencies. You know, like the potency of consciousness, Samvit, or Chit, Sat Chit. That potency, in the material world, people are using, they're misusing, for trying to enjoy material life. But that is a misuse of something which has a particular purpose. And that purpose is, through consciousness, to facilitate Krishna experiencing pleasure. Therefore, this verse here that we just read, verse 83, says, she's the primeval internal potency of the Lord. In a sense, it's not exactly accurate. She's part of the primeval internal potency of the Lord. That's more accurate technically. But because the purpose of all the other potencies is to give Krishna pleasure, therefore she dominates the other aspects of the internal potency, completely dominates. And therefore it says she is the primeval internal potency of the Lord. So yes, that's who she is. That's what she is. The capacity of the Lord to experience pleasure manifested outside himself in order to increase that unlimitedly. And that's what she is. That's Srimati Radharani. Now, in this chapter 4 of the Chaitanya Charitamrita, there's a lot of information about Radharani, Srimati Radharani, and the gopis, of whom she is the chief, and of whom the others, as we've now said a few times, is the source. I want to read a series of verses here now, which, from the fourth chapter of Adi Leela, in which Srila Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami is pointing out some really wonderful aspects. Excuse me, I've got a hiccup. Some extremely wonderful aspects of the natures of the gopis the gopis in general, but we can understand on the basis of what we were just saying that this means ultimately about the nature of Srimati Radharani, actually. So, please listen to this. I'll just read the translations. Lord Krishna has a promise from before to reciprocate with his devotees according to the way they worship him. This is Bhagavad Gita. In whatever way my devotees surrender unto me, I reward them accordingly. Everyone follows my path in all respects, O son of Prita. So that promise has been broken by the worship of the gopis, as Lord Krishna admits. O gopis, I'm not able to repay my debt for your spotless service, even within a lifetime of Brahma. Your connection with me is beyond reproach. You have worshipped me, cutting off all domestic ties, which are difficult to break. Therefore, please let your own glorious deeds be your compensation. So, Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami continues. Now, whatever affection we see the gopis show for their own bodies, know it for certain to be only for the sake of Lord Krishna. The gopis think, and like we said, ultimately it means Srimati Radharani thinks particularly, I have offered this body to Lord Krishna. He is its owner, and it brings him enjoyment. Krishna finds joy in seeing and touching this body. It is for this reason that they cleanse and decorate their bodies. We can just say a few words about that. There is a sort of a caricature of some women, shall we say, however many, let's just say some women. There's a caricature that a woman, or some women, can sit in front of a mirror and decorate their faces and then, you know, get different clothing and ornaments and jewelry. And they can do that. There's a caricature. They can do that forever. There's a caricature. I just said it is a caricature. We're not saying that this is, you know, that they're all like that. I don't know how life would go on if they were all really like that. But there's a caricature. And it is applied also to the gopis. The idea on the material platform is that the woman, if she's not married particularly, is doing all this with great concentration and focus because she wants to catch some man. This is the caricature. You know, I'm not saying it. Anyway, it's a caricature. That's for sure. It is a caricature. Yes. And it's not really how they look or how they, you know, what their appearance is. It's not really like that. But they make their appearance look much more attractive than it normally is in the sort of raw form in order to bewilder some man into thinking that she is more than what she is in all sorts of ways. Don't mind, ladies. I know there's a number of you online. Don't mind. I'm just saying, this is a caricature. Means, caricature means like a cartoon. So it's sort of a comical idea. Yes, and yeah, and they can take forever to get themselves ready. And the man is ready. And he's saying, come on, we got to go. And she's saying, just a minute. Oh, Krishna. So, but now, in the case of the gopis, this applies. This actually literally applies. That they can sit there. They know they're going to meet Krishna sooner or later. And they can sit there sort of preparing themselves just to the last moment until they hear, you know, that Krishna, because they wait for Krishna to call them. They don't just go running out independently. Generally, at least, they wait for Krishna to give some signal. Usually, he plays on his flute in a particular way. And when they hear that, they know, ah, he wants us now. And when they understand that, when they hear that signal and they understand he wants us now, actually now, then whatever stage they've reached in their, you know, preparations, shall we say, they just stop. They don't say, hang on, Krishna, you know, we're almost there. The relationship with Krishna is such, they just literally drop everything. Literally drop everything. And they run. And that we read in the Krishna book, we read in 10th canto of Srimad Bhagavatam, that in the great rasa dance, the first rasa dance, which is described there in the 10th canto in the Krishna book, Krishna books, that they literally did that and they went running out, not fully prepared. To the point that those literatures state that some of them, they were in such a rush, they put the bottom part of their clothing on the top part of the body, and the top part of the clothing on the bottom part of the body. And if you just think about that, what does that mean? Oh, Krishna. That means that's really, really something extraordinary. And, you know, they use kajal, the black eyeliner. They all use kajal. Some of them had kajal on one eye only. But they just dropped the kajal literally, bang, on the floor and ran. Because the urgency was, Krishna wants us now. Therefore, we're not going to make him wait. We are going now. So, Krishna finds joy in seeing and touching this body, Srimati Radharani thinks, the gopis think. It is for this reason that they cleanse and decorate their bodies. So we continue reading. O Arjuna, there are no greater receptacles of deep love for me than the gopis, who cleanse and decorate their bodies because they consider them mine. They are actually Krishna's. There is another wonderful feature of the emotion of the gopis. Its power is beyond the comprehension of the intelligence. We find this sort of statement just in a few places here and there, that something happened, like when it's described when Lord Chaitanya and Sanatan Goswami, who in Krishna's Vrindavan Leela is one of the main gopis, that they spent some time together. Sanatan Goswami came and visited Lord Chaitanya in Jagannath Puri and spent months. It might have even been a year, but it was, you know, quite an extended period of time, you know, in terms of the normal visit, just visiting someone. So, but then Sanatan Goswami was instructed by Lord Chaitanya, you go to Vrindavan and establish the sacred places, compile literatures, and this sort of thing. And so Sanatan Goswami, being instructed by the Lord to do that, he did. But the Chaitanya Charitamrita describes that when they parted ways, Lord Chaitanya stayed there in Puri. Sanatan Goswami left on the road to Vrindavan. When they parted ways, the state of their emotions, Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami said, the feelings, that just the scene, now they're parting, and they're having their final interactions before parting, he says that scene is impossible to describe, cannot describe it. So similarly here, there's another wonderful feature of the emotion of the gopis. Its power is beyond the comprehension of the intelligence. When the gopis see Lord Krishna, they derive unbounded bliss, although they have no desire for such pleasure. The gopis taste a pleasure 10 million times greater than the pleasure Lord Krishna derives from seeing them. The gopis have no inclination for their own enjoyment, and yet their joy increases. That is indeed a contradiction. As we read, its power is beyond the comprehension of the intelligent. Yeah. So this is, in principle, this is an extremely important point, that the gopis, Srimati Radharani has no inclination, what to speak of a desire, some driving force in the heart. They're not even inclined. To be inclined towards something means to be sort of mildly attracted. It's just an inclination. It's not a big deal. Whereas to desire something, that's significant. So the gopis, Srimati Radharani, has no inclination for her own pleasure, and the gopis also for their own pleasure. And for us, we are used to living in this material world for many lifetimes, and the basic modus operandi, the basic way of functioning has been how to get pleasure. How am I going to enjoy? Yeah, how will I satisfy my desire to enjoy in this way, in that way, in so many ways? But now we're hearing here that the advanced devotees, because the gopis, and particularly Srimati Radharani, they are advanced devotees. They are the most advanced. Their level, anyway, they're the most advanced. But it is not inappropriate to use the term advanced. Yeah, it's not inappropriate to use the term advanced. So, and we have come to Krishna consciousness. Here we are. Look at us. We are here in the Radharadnath temple, residing and rendering some service and doing this and that in our capacity as aspiring devotees. So we should understand, we need to understand, what are we aspiring for, actually? What is it that we're trying to achieve? And one thing which it is not, which we're not really trying to achieve, is just to fulfill our desires for our personal enjoyment. That is one thing we are not, or should not, be trying to achieve. Although we definitely must try to achieve some things. So we must try to achieve, try to cultivate, try to appreciate the value of, and try to understand how to develop this, is to come to the point where we actually don't care, am I happy or am I sad, like this. But rather, the only thing we care about, and we really care about it, is Krishna happy or not? And how to make Krishna as happy as possible. This is the platform of the gopis and Srimati Radharani, which we have just read here. They have no inclination for their own enjoyment. However, despite that, even though they have no inclination for their own enjoyment, and they have vast, practically unlimited inclination for giving enjoyment to Krishna, still the contradiction mentioned here, apparent contradiction, is still their joy increases. Their joy increases. But it's got no relationship to any idea they may have or any effort they might be making to get enjoyment for themselves. No relationship. Because they only have one desire, to please Krishna. Of course, they may have many desires, meaning to please Krishna in different ways, but the fundamental, the root form of their desire is simply how to give pleasure to Krishna. And as we read, Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami says, in doing that, in selflessly, without any idea at all, even the slightest inclination to get pleasure for themselves, despite that, their joy increases massively, as we read, 10 million times greater than that of Lord Krishna. Oh, that's a lot. It'd be one thing if it was double. I remember when Srila Prabhupada was present and we were doing book distribution, it was a big thing. And Prabhupada, after one marathon where everyone just made what they felt was their maximum effort and the maximum number of devotees were out and it was all just, everything was the maximum. At the end of the marathon, Srila Prabhupada said, very good. Now double it. And our initial reaction was, what? Double it? You know, we've just about broken our bodies and everything into pieces here, and you want us to double it? So the pleasure of the gopis, it's not just a double Krishna's pleasure. It's not even 10 times or 100, which is just, you know, such a vast increase. 10 million times. But it's based on their desire to please Krishna. It has no relation to any sort of desire to please themselves, because that desire doesn't exist. So let's continue. So, okay, the gopis have no inclination for their own enjoyment, and yet their joy increases. That is indeed a contradiction. For this contradiction, I see only one solution. The joy of the gopis lies in the joy of their beloved Krishna. Let's read about that. When Lord Krishna sees the gopis, who, you know, because of their desire to please him, have done themselves up, well, you know, tried to do themselves up in like super nice ways, and he sees that and he understands that. So when Lord Krishna sees the gopis, his joy increases and his unparalleled sweetness increases also. Yes. He becomes happy. Oh, look what they've done for me. That's so nice. He appreciates. But as he appreciates, as that mood of appreciation, happiness, joy increases, his beauty increases, his sweetness increases. What now? Where are we? The gopis think, Krishna has obtained so much pleasure by seeing me. That joy increases the fullness and the beauty of their faces and bodies. The beauty of Lord Krishna increases at the sight of the beauty of the gopis. And the more the gopis see Lord Krishna's beauty, the more their beauty increases. In this way, a competition takes place between them, in which no one acknowledges defeat. Krishna, however, derives pleasure from the beauty and good qualities of the gopis. And when the gopis see his pleasure, the joy of the gopis increases. Therefore, we find that the joy of the gopis nourishes the joy of Lord Krishna. For that reason, the fault of lust is not present in their love. And a verse from, I think, Srimad Bhagavatam. I worship Lord Keshava, coming back from the forest of Raja. He is worshipped by the gopis, who mount the roofs of their palaces and meet him on the path with 100 manners of dancing glances and gentle smiles. The corners of his eyes wander like large black bees around the gopis' breasts. There is another natural symptom of the gopis' love that shows it to be without a trace of lust. And gopis' love ultimately means Radharani's love. The love of the gopis nourishes the sweetness of Lord Krishna. That sweetness in turn increases their love, for they are greatly satisfied. The happiness of the abode of love is in the happiness of the object of that love. This is not a relationship of desire for personal gratification. Whenever there is unselfish love, that is its style. The reservoir of love derives pleasure when the lovable object is pleased. So, I think you get the point. It's a very amazing transcendental point that the ecstasy of the gopis increases when they see the ecstasy of Krishna increase, particularly through their service. And their ecstasy does not increase when someone does something to please or satisfy them directly. Their ecstasy does not increase. Actually, their ecstasy reduces, if it ever happens. Their ecstasy reduces. We'll read about that in a minute. So the thing is, for us as aspiring devotees, this is such an important point to grasp and take into the heart. And really try to just have there in your life, have your mind, your body, your emotions saturated with this point that our happiness will come by us giving pleasure to Krishna. Our happiness will not come by us giving pleasure to ourselves. Rather, the opposite will happen. If we try to give pleasure to ourselves, the result will be we will suffer. That's the result. We will suffer if we try to give pleasure to ourselves. But if we don't care, if we have no inclination for getting pleasure for ourselves, but rather we have a burning desire, only desire, to please Krishna by our service, then our pleasure, our happiness will just increase. Well, unlimitedly, actually. Unlimitedly. As is described by Srila Baladev Vijayabhushan, he makes the point that the devotees, particularly these very advanced devotees, they're just desiring and trying to give Krishna pleasure. And Krishna is unlimited. So when he sees they're trying and trying and trying even more, even beyond their capacities to give Krishna pleasure, then Krishna reciprocates. And because Krishna is unlimited, Krishna reciprocates unlimitedly in giving pleasure, ecstasy to the devotees. So we must really try to cultivate this in our attempts at rendering devotional service. We should definitely not be in some form of automatic pilot where we're just doing things absent-mindedly. We really need to be very conscious of what we are doing, that we are doing it for Krishna, and therefore really try to do it to the very best of our ability physically, if we're doing some practical activity, and with the consciousness as focused as possible in giving Krishna pleasure. This is Krishna consciousness, actually. That's Krishna consciousness. That's real Krishna consciousness. Some other variation where it's sort of, you know, a bit mixed up, and we still have some desire to get pleasure for ourselves, and, you know, we're interested in that. That's contamination. And because it's contamination, it will interfere. It may interfere in many ways, but at least it will interfere in our experience of pleasure or the degree of pleasure that we experience. It will definitely do that. And it may even, Krishna may send some sort of problem to shake us a bit and make us remember that, no, I'm not meant to do this. I remember what it says in Chaitanya Charitamrita. I'm not meant to try to please myself. I'm meant to try to please Krishna. And so then we may get back on track. So, when the pleasure of love interferes with the service of Lord Krishna, the devotee becomes angry towards such ecstasy. This is a very interesting and nice point. That this is also from the same place of Chaitanya Charitamrita. Sri Daruka, who is the chariot driver of Krishna, and also like personal, one of the close personal assistants, Sri Daruka did not relish his ecstatic feelings of love, for they caused his limbs to become stunned and thus obstructed his service of fanning Lord Krishna. And, you know, he's a thinking person. He's a very conscious person. And he saw this, that he's feeling just so ecstatic in service. The particular situation was that he was fanning the Lord. And he found that his body, well, as the verse says, this caused his limbs to become stunned and obstructed his service of fanning Krishna. And therefore, in Nectar of Devotion, it's stated that he strongly criticized his ecstasy. Strongly criticized his feelings that you stop this. Yeah, strongly. You stop this. I've got to serve, so you just stop this. That sort of idea. And here's another one. The lotus-eyed Radharani powerfully condemned the ecstatic love that caused a flow of tears that hindered her sight of Govinda. And we know this. That's also there in Nectar of Devotion, and it's also here in Chaitanya Charitamrita, that Srimati Radharani, she was crying, and she was crying so heavily, so strongly, that her eyes were becoming sort of, anyway, there was too much liquid on her eyes, and therefore she couldn't look nicely. Krishna became blurry. So then Radharani, the Nectar of Devotion says, then Srimati Radharani thought, she thought that this Lord Brahma who's designed and made these bodies, he's a useless creator because he's made these bodies with eyes. Oh, well, that was blink. Okay, anyway, yeah. That has made my eyes blink. And she prayed, let me in my next life become a fish in the Yamuna, because fish never blink. Ichthyology. Their eyes, for their entire lifetime, their eyes are open. And she was thinking, then I'll just see Krishna when he comes. Hare Krishna. All right. So today is the sacred, sacred day of Radhastami. Let us try our level best, even better than our best. Let us try to focus our minds on Srimati Radharani and Lord Krishna and absorb ourselves in a mood of prayer to Srimati Radharani that you are the presiding deity of devotional service and all devotional moods and sentiments and emotions. So please help me to become a proper devotee of your beloved Lord Krishna and render really pleasing service to your beloved Lord Krishna. Hare Krishna. Srimati Radharani ke. Shri Radhastami Mahotsava ke. Shri Shri Radha Radhanath ke. Shri Giri Govardhan ke. Shri Shri Radha Radhanath 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 ke. Jai. Anymore.